Did you guys move here yet?
Nope. Nope. That's feel like not going to happen for at least another year.
It's just taking a long time. Probably
after the wedding. Well, we have a wedding. Let me just drop the date and time and coordinates of our wedding in the podcast. Yeah. For all our listeners.
In case our fans want to come to the wedding, you know.
It's going to be good.
What would be the stupidest place to have it that we could lie about and tell people to come to?
The closed Tim Hortons in Ann Arbor off of South Main Street by the gas station.
That's perfect, yeah. They're doing good things with that parcel, actually. So I think it's going to be nice. The reception's going to be over at DiBella's, if that reopens. Nice. I don't know if it's reopened.
I went to that Tim Hortons 3 times, and all 3 times, they messed up so horribly. One time, all I wanted was a hot chocolate. They gave me a black coffee. Do you know how disappointing it is?
Okay, but was it hot?
To really, really, really want a hot chocolate, and then you're so excited, and you get you go take a big ol' sip, and it's black coffee? That's so insulting. Anyway,
no, I don't drink hot chocolate or coffee. That's weird. So I don't know that disappointment. I know what piss looks like, so.
What?
How am I? I'm tired. I'm a little upset because there's no Star Trek tonight. I got real used to having Star Trek happening.
Isn't there a new Ted Lasso tonight, though?
It came out yesterday at 6 o'clock.
Okay, we watch it.
I keep telling you.
On Thursdays, usually. Because that's we usually 2 days later. On Wednesdays. Okay.
So why don't you watch it on Tuesdays?
I don't know.
I don't fucking like.
Now you're stressing me out.
None of this shit makes any sense. Listen, I got to watch it right away. Although I only watched half of it because then I had to go to band and then I finished it when I got home. But anyways, it's good. Ted Lasso is always good. And this is the last season. You really should be maximizing your Ted Lasso time.
We always enjoy it together. We'll probably watch it tonight after we make pasta. We're going to make pasta. We'll probably watch some Ted Lasso.
That's the straightest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You going to read the Bible before bed too?
No, we're going to drink a good bottle of wine though.
Oh, that's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you still playing Breath of the Wild?
No. I mean... I don't really like that style of game, I'm realizing. Like,
where you just go and do whatever you want?
No, like, I hate the combat style in that game. Like, I'm really bad at it. That's why I don't generally don't like first-person combat games. Because I'm really bad at it. And I don't like the fact that your weapons break over time. So you can just, run out of weapons. That's stupid.
Look, I gotta warn you. You sound like Tom now.
I'm sorry, I just don't like it. I liked Link's Awakening because it was cute and
simple.
It is
very cute, that's true. Then you should do Link to the Past.
It wasn't scary. You know what I hate? You know what I really hate with Breath of the Wild? Is, my favorite part about Link's Awakening was you just walk around and talk to strangers. You know, you go up to a stranger in Breath of the Wild, they're like, oh, how are you? I'm having a good day. Except I'm going to kill you! And then you have to fight them. Yeah,
that's part of the story.
And they're really hard to beat, and I always die.
Get better weapons.
Where?
I don't know if we ever... everywhere. I don't know if we ever talked about how you played Link's Awakening on the podcast, because I think it was between
my
recording.
Style of gameplay doesn't work in Breath of the Wild.
It doesn't. Because here's what Becca did. She'd be like, oh, this room's filled with enemies. I'm just going to keep running into them until they apologize and leave.
Yeah, but it works because as soon as you kill one, you get a heart.
Not as soon. I mean, the game does want to keep you going, but...
Yeah, I kept getting hearts. Link's Awakening, you don't get hearts. You have to cook food. Or Breath of the Wild. You have to cook food to get health.
You can get hearts. There's hearts other places.
Stupid.
You can eat apples. Just eat an apple.
I have a lot of apples. I've been feeding them to my horse. Her name's
Cam. Horses fucking love that shit. Is she the best horse in the world?
She is. I'll knock over a tree that'll have apples in it, and she'll just walk up to the apples and be like, "Oh yeah, time for some apples. Mom got me some apples."
I rode a horse around a lot in the game until I got the motorcycle, and then I rode the motorcycle around a lot.
There's a motorcycle. How is there a motorcycle? There's no gasoline.
You give it food.
You feed your motorcycle apples?
You can. You put it in the gas tank. Haven't you seen Back to the Future 2?
That you can surf, like, with a shield. You can, like, surf down a mountain.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
That Didn't I tell fun.
You that? I feel like I told you that. Anyways, the sequel comes out next Tuesday, and I love it. I'm excited. I haven't played it yet, but I'm excited.
The graphics are beautiful.
Next Friday.
Like, the map is very pretty, but to me, the gameplay is stressful, so I haven't gone back to it. I've been playing The Witness, which is on our PlayStation, and that is puzzle games, but they're very, very difficult puzzles.
I was going to say, I've seen you scream at that game, The Witness.
Okay.
So that is also stressful to you.
This is funny. Yeah, but it's very satisfying. And also, there's no jump scares or, like, nobody's trying to get you, you know? You're just walking around on this island. You're the only person, and you're just solving puzzles.
Are you trying to save people?
Yeah, but they're frozen. They're rocks. They can't bother you.
And that doesn't bother you. You're okay with them being frozen.
So we'll do our parallel play sometimes. So he's playing League of Legends on the basement computer, and I'm down there playing The Witness on the TV. And at one point, so I came down there, worked on one puzzle for an hour, and I was ready to break the TV in half. Just like, nope, this is it. This is it. I finally get it. And I just yell, fucking finally! And somebody on David's, like, League of Legends Discord just goes, she playing The Witness?
Why would they guess that first?
Well, there's also a sound that comes after you solve a puzzle, because it's usually like a thing turning on, so it's always like whoop. So that accompanied it. But it was very disappointing because it opened a door that just had a piece of paper. And I'm sure it's going to be very important, but I'm just yelling for the podcast. David popped his head over.
Did he walk? He's like, are we okay? Everybody okay in here?
What's going on? It was just a piece of paper. So, like, I'm sure it'll be very important later in the game when I have to solve some final puzzle.
That's the only food you get. Your character has to eat it.
But I was just like, really? An hour for this?
Worth it.
It's very satisfying.
I don't think I've played that. I've been playing this game called Advanced Wars, which was a Game Boy Advance game, and you have little units and you have to move them around and they fight other units. It's like a military game. But, like, I'm at a part where they're like, build a defensive wall because you can block bridges. It's tile-based, so you can't cross the bridge if your unit is blocking the tile. And I'm like, you want me to sacrifice all these people? It just, I don't know. It doesn't play the same as when I was a kid and I was like, yeah, little units doing fun military stuff. And now I'm like, these people are dying. They're out there dying for
colonialism.
What? Well, and like all of the commanders of these various armies, because like the characters are the commanders, they seem to know each other and be friends. And like it's all kind of a game. And I was like, that kind of make me uncomfortable. But the gameplay's really good.
Did you used to play Age of Empires as a kid?
No.
Oh, my brother and I played Age of Empires. He also was very into RuneScape. I tried RuneScape, and I wasn't very good at it. I just wanted to like mine for ore. I just remember like
gotta
I just
get that
to mine for ore and then
and
sell
don't you
my
not
ore.
Like Minecraft though?
Yeah, because it's blocks. Like this dumb.
Okay. Life
but
is
my
blocks.
Brother. My brother had a very like high level RuneScape account, and then when he went to college, he sold his account. Which
I've
I
heard
guess
of people doing that. Yeah, that,
yeah.
Like, World of Warcraft
because he had a ton of credits and shit. So he sold his account for like $100 or something. Just
wow.
Funny to me. Yeah, wow, big baller.
Yeah, someone made bank. So gosh, what else is going on here? Not a ton.
I had a very frustrating job thing happen, if we want to talk about that.
Do you want to talk? I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't know if you want to talk about it. But I personally, I think you should because it fucking sucks.
I'm not going to say the company name
because
I don't know how much I can legally say. But if people want to
you
direct
didn't sign
message
anything.
Me, people want to DM me. Well, I know things from people who work there that I'm not supposed to know as a candidate.
That's fair. And I know them because you told me.
If you want to DM me. I will tell you. basically, I interviewed at this company for a job that was like perfect for me. It was like exactly what I want to do. Not that I don't love my job now, but it was just like felt like a really good step, and spent about a month and a half in this interview process. So there was a take home, which was 6 hours long. It was like a data analysis, data science take home. There was an, then there, it was like a week and a half of waiting. And then there was an on-site that was virtual that was 7 hours long. and the last person didn't even show up. Like my last interviewer didn't show up. I just sat in a Zoom for 45 minutes with no one joining. That was really bad. So then they had to reschedule that one. And then there was like about 2 weeks back and forth where the recruiter was like, yep, everyone had only good things to say. Like, we're doing a reference check now. Okay, your references all came back great. Now we're just going to, like, we have to figure out budget stuff. And then it was, I got a verbal offer and I countered and was like, here's, like, I want a little bit more, or can you throw in some more stock, whatever. Got a final verbal offer. This was like 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. And they were like, we're going to send you the written offer at 5. Like, I have to get one more approval. She was like, I have to get one more approval, and then I'm going to send you the written offer at 5. And I was about to go into a meeting with my team at my current job for quarterly planning stuff. So I was like, I told them all, I was like, hey, I haven't signed anything, so nothing is official, so this is not my notice, but I have a verbal offer from this company, and assuming I get a written offer, I will take it, like, just to let you all know. And I tell my friends here in town, I'm like, hey, they're going to give me the offer at 5, this is what they said, let's all go out for happy hour, margs, like, woohoo. So we all meet up this place down the street that has fantastic marks, great happy hour. We all get our drinks, and then the recruiter calls, and I'm like, oh, I'll be right back. And she's like, the team has decided to reprioritize, and there is no role, there will be no job. I don't know if you've ever cried behind a Mexican restaurant before, but I did that day.
Not behind one, no.
No, only in them.
Yeah, why would I go outside? That's salt for the chips coming off my tears.
So it was so funny because I had to like walk back to my friends and they're like, woo! And I'm like,
What had happened was.
Yeah, it was really devastating.
I couldn't, when you told us, I thought you were doing a bit. I thought, haha, very funny. Because we had been telling you, like, you had been saying, do I tell my boss? And we were like, I mean, if you think the offer is coming, like, why not? Yeah, just
go tell him. And I was explicitly told the offer was coming.
Yeah, I know. At that point, it was like, why not? And then you told us, I was like, yeah, haha. Real funny, Becca.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then David said it. And since a man said it, I believed it.
But that same night, like, I messaged my boss. And I was like, so you know how I joked about like, hey, there's still like a 1% chance they pull it. So this is not my official notice. Well, they did pull it at the very last minute. So I'm still here. And my boss was so nice about it. Like I was so blown away by how kind everybody was at work, like on my team and my boss's boss. And everybody's just been so nice, because I feel like everybody can imagine themselves in that situation and just be like, wow, that would suck. So yeah, and then the next day my boss was like, hey, if you want to take the day off, you can. And I was like explaining this to my brother, and he's like, so you almost quit and then didn't, and then they gave you the day off?
Clearly you needed like, a break.
Well, I was crying in bed all day, so like I wouldn't have done much work.
Right, but so how is that different than normal?
Yeah. but it's good now. I mean, the where I've come around mentally is like I wouldn't want to work somewhere that treats people like that.
Oh, anyway. Absolutely not, so. No. And now I will never look at that same company, even though we were all kind of going like, well, maybe.
It is a company that like many people in our circle were thinking of jumping to. And then after this whole experience, I've been telling everyone like, even if I can't give specific details, because I know people who work there who were able to get information about why this happened. And even if I can't give those details to people, I can tell people, like, never apply for a job here. Never, mm-hmm. ever. Because it's just so, so unbelievably unprofessional and shitty. So that's what's been new with me.
Yeah, that all sounds really good. Really, you're smiling a lot. Stuff. So, like, that's been good. We were supposed to do a podcast the Wednesday, like, the day after. And I was like, do you still want to do a podcast? Do you want to play some games? And so we played games instead.
We played games. We've been playing some games. That day I went to Home Depot and bought $200 worth of plants, mm-hmm. which is what I needed to do. $400
worth of blow.
Yeah. Got a bunch of new plants. I built a little garden on our patio, like a raised bed garden. Planted broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and strawberries. And then I have tomatoes and cucumbers that are growing inside. I'm so excited.
No, that's a bad selection. Cucumbers? Unless you're turning those into pickles, they're garbage.
I love cucumbers.
Can you grow celery?
You can. Not in this climate, though. I don't think it's a good, like, dry weather climate. Yeah.
Can you grow a community, Becca?
Can I grow a community? No, I can only destroy them.
Yeah, that's true. I used to have a lot more friends. Well, nothing cool like that happened to me, like nothing exciting and great, but I went to RSA and that was fine. I got a tattoo. I finished my sleeve on my right arm. I'm really excited for that. It looks really good. Chris and I went to our friend's wedding. My friends Rob and Meredith got married. They looked okay. Chris and I looked amazing, which was really nice. I mean, like, they looked good or whatever. I don't know. They're married. It seems weird to comment on it. But, I don't know. That's been it. I've just been working, you know?
Yeah.
Work, band. I cat sit for a cat named Mr. Marshmallow and his brother Noodle. That was pretty good.
Those are good names.
They're good names. See, so my friend Lauren always calls, like, his name is Mr. Marshmallow Cat, but she always calls him Mr., which I took to be a title, but apparently it's his name. And so I've always referred to him as Mr. Marshmallow out of respect. And then there's just Noodle, which kind of seems silly in comparison.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That makes me think of Star Trek when he says, well, Data is my name.
Yeah, she keeps, there's an episode where this doctor keeps calling him Data. And he's like, that's not my name. And she's like, well, what's the difference? Data. He's like, well, one is my name.
Yeah.
And that's why I tweeted once that doctor would absolutely dead name somebody.
Yes, for sure.
Did you see there's a fun new law in Florida that says if you're trans and you're in a bathroom and someone says you need to leave because they know or think you're trans, if you don't leave, you can be arrested. That's a fun new law they signed a couple hours ago.
Even if you're not trans?
Well, like, so that's just the thing is, how are you going to tell?
Were you going to start doing genital checks at the bathroom door?
Yeah, you know, because we're worried about, I don't know what here, but so I can never go to Florida again, even though I realize, you know, I've got passing privilege is never going to impact me, but it's so unsafe there. And it sucks because my best friend from high school lives there and I usually go see her at least once a year, usually twice a year. And now I'm like, I can never come there again until your shit ass state gets it together.
Yeah. It's so nonsensical too, if you really think about like safety, right? Yeah. Because think about what you're actually then advocating for is for everybody to go into the restroom that equates to the sex that they were born with, which doesn't make a lot of sense for anybody. Like, no. You know, what you're going to send someone who you would never know is transgender into a restroom that is not their like, it doesn't make
it's gonna
any
be
sense.
So it's much worse. I mean, the goal so is to much make, worse. Make us uncomfortable and not want to go out and not
and just
participate
say,
in society. So I remember a time before I came out at work, like I was at Home Depot and I was using the men's restroom at the time, and I walked in and I saw someone do a double take because like, am I in the wrong restroom? Then, you know, I used the toilet and I was washing my hands. Someone else walked in and was like, oops, sorry, wrong room. And then they went out and came back in and I was like, got him. Fucking got him.
But,
I mean, that what ends up happening is this will impact not just trans people, but anyone who's gender nonconforming. So like women who don't meet whatever stereotype these assholes have in their head are going to encounter the same issues. And so it's not just policing trans people. It's policing all genders and presentations. And they're saying, if you don't fit into our box, you know.
Right. Well, so if you're someone that would be, for better or worse, called like a tomboy, you might be accused in a restroom of being trans and being,
or like if you're breaking the law, overly tall, if you're like a muscular woman, like it's gonna be like, if you're a short guy, maybe. Although these things almost never target trans men, because they, I don't know if they think they're not real or whatever, but most of these things are explicitly targeting trans women.
Yeah, it also,
but it's up, you know, drag bans, all of that stuff. It's just, they've made it illegal. I think it's in Montana or somewhere. It's just in the last couple of weeks, to dress in a manner inconsistent with your biological gender, I think is what they say. So what? I'm like, what? Because clothes have gender? Like, I don't understand that. Like, it's just wild what they're doing. And I don't understand how people aren't being louder about it. Like, it's primarily the trans community being like, hey, what the fuck is going on? And a handful of allies. But in general, people are like, I don't know. Trans women shouldn't be in sports. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not about that. And also, who cares? They're just games. So, fuck you.
Yeah, and it's like that issue, regardless of how people feel about it, is now all people will talk about. They won't talk about the actual harm that's being done to trans people. They're just like, well, sports aren't fair anymore. It's like, whether or not you think that's true, there's bigger issues here. People are dying.
There was a story in the UK, which the UK is like even worse for transphobic shit. But some trans woman run in like a marathon, and the headline read, trans woman beats like 10,000 other runners. But what they didn't tell you is that she came in like 13,000th place. Like, it was a huge marathon. So it was like, yeah, she beat some people, but not a bunch of others. And that's always how it is. Like, I don't know, and I'm sure there are some out there, but for the most part, the trans women competing in these sports are not, they don't have an advantage. Like, once your levels are at X level, then it's no different.
It's wild to me. There's a lot of debate within, like, the powerlifting community, because I can see that being, like, one sport where, depending on your hormone levels, like, you could have an advantage. But in powerlifting, you compete within a weight class. And so, like, I was at my brother's, like, strongman competition recently, and they break it down by gender, and then they break it down by weight class within the gender. And throughout the whole competition, there was a woman competing who was bigger, I will say. And my dad, the whole time, was kind of like, do you think that she might be? And I was like, I don't know. But then when it came to the time for awards, she won first place in her weight class, and she was the only one in that weight class. And I was like, see, it doesn't even matter.
It's so stupid. Like, they'll tell you it's about fairness and women's sports, but that, to me, that's the same argument as talking about like transparency in gaming journalism or whatever. Like, it's just an excuse to be shitty. If you remember, the Gamergate was always like, it's about ethics in journalism. It's like, no, it's not. You just don't like these people. You just want
to
hate
people. To me, it's like, it's an issue that I think people can have whatever opinion on, but it seems like it is an issue that is taking over the conversation when we should be prioritizing, like, safety first. And maybe once that is all sorted and everybody's safe and comfortable, then we can talk about sports, I guess. Like, I don't...
When society collapses, all we'll have are our sports.
I think it's in, like, Oklahoma, they passed some law about girls, like, trans girls in sports, and there's only one, like, identified trans girl in, like, a high school sport. And so it's like, you're literally writing legislation
targeting one person. Girl
who's mediocre at soccer anyway. Like, it's not like
it's a slippery slope, Becca. We don't stop it now. You're going to have a full 11 soccer players out there, dicks out, tits out, kicking that ball.
Right. And it's like my mom said recently, she's like, do they really think people are going to go through all that trouble just to win at a sport?
And I'm like, that's what I did. I wanted to be really good at hockey. And so I said, give me the boobs.
I wanted to be the best at women's track and field.
Yeah, so there's just something about it.
To chop off my genitals. Like, great.
They invert them, so.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Did you watch the video that one time, didn't you?
I did.
I sent Becca a video once on YouTube that, like, was a CG version of what bottom surgery is for trans women.
Hour and a half long video of it. And I watched the whole thing because I just, once it started, I was like, huh, interesting. Okay. Surgery videos never bothered me.
Huh. Yeah, they don't bother me either.
So they,
I feel like if I had been able to get them to take a picture of me with my face peeled down, you would have been like, I want to see that.
I would have absolutely wanted to see it.
I wish I could. I wish I had gotten them to do it.
It would look so spooky.
Yeah.
You can make it your new Slack.
It's the perfect profile picture. Be like, hey, just is that like an AI? It's like, no, that's from when my face fell off. They had to fix it. It's a weird day.
I did know someone growing up who had been in a motorcycle accident and whose face actually did like fully come off.
Mm-hmm.
It was in one piece. So they
staple that shit right back on there.
Literally. But he said he did have a picture from when his face was off.
Do you have it?
I don't have it. I was a kid.
Okay, well, I would have stolen it. Anyway, you were a kid in, like, I don't know, 2015. They had cell phone cameras then.
I was not a kid in 2015. I was legally a kid for the first 3 months of 2014.
I need you all to know that when I said that, Becca looked up to think because she couldn't remember when she had been a child.
I was 17 at the beginning of 2014. That tells everyone.
17, she says. Okay, whatever.
How old I am.
Do you want to do a post and then probably take our break because we're like 30 minutes in already?
Yeah, we've been chatting.
We do be chatting.
Yeah, I'll send you a couple posts. Great. Let's see.
We got posts coming, folks.
I love scrolling. So I'm a member of a couple depressing subreddits, mostly to know what kind of decisions I want to avoid.
r/depression.
There's r/regretful parents, which I find.
Which is like, I wish I had never had kids.
Yes, it's all people being like, I wish I could go back in time and never do this. And
I wish your parents hadn't had a daughter.
I was talking to my mom about this because. She's like, well, you could change your mind. I'm like, maybe. But I was like, for me, I feel like the regret of not having children would be a lot easier to live with than on the off chance you have a kid and you regret it. And she's like, I don't think anybody regrets having kids. And I'm like, let me show you a little corner of the internet.
That's yours and Mary's podcast is the two of you can read those. And she can be like, that's terrible. I can't believe they'd feel like that.
When I say it's the saddest place on Reddit, it truly is because it's anonymous. So it's like the one place that people can come and be like, I wish I never had my kid. And I'm like, I can't imagine how hard that's got to be for both the parent and the kid of like, you're not wanted.
We can ask Alex what it's like.
Yeah, his mom's posted on there every day.
Yeah, he messaged me again.
My kids are out of the house now, but I still wish I never did that.
I unleashed them on a world that wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm also a member of the r/marriage subreddit. And it makes me feel a lot better. Even on like the worst days of my relationship where I'm like, wow.
Which is every day.
You people are in a bad place. Someone sent their husband sent them a picture of like his hotel room when he was at a work conference, and there was just blatantly a box of condoms like in the drawer of the bed, like the nightstand that he had already put in there.
Why would he do that? That's like when people would take a selfie in the bathroom and there'd still be shit in the toilet and it would just be in the picture and you'd be like, maybe check before you send that.
Right. And then she said he posted the same picture online, but carefully cropped it to like he realized after he sent it to her that it had the condoms in the picture and he cropped it when he like posted.
And what was his explanation? Like, did he say, oh, those were already in there?
This was her posting being like, do I confront him?
Oh, like I saw it.
She's like, I know he's going to have an excuse and be like, oh, they were just in there. I didn't bring these. They were just in the hotel room already. Or they're like my buddies. or something, right? Like, she's like, I know he's gonna lie, so what do I do? And I'm like, man,
you gotta lie harder.
So anyway, with that, I want to read this post. You'll know why within the second sentence of why I wanted to read this post. Am I the asshole for finally snapping at my husband? Throwaway, as my husband uses Reddit. I, 25 female, have been with my husband, 30 male, for 5 years.
It's fine.
I guess it's fine. Ever since I've known him, he has always been a know-it-all kind of guy, but he has other amazing qualities, and that's why I married him. For personal information, he is a, quote, know-it-all about literally every single thing. So this is my favorite, when they start, as an aside, when they start a post being like, I love my husband. He's the best in every single way, except for this major personality flaw that I fucking hate.
He does stab me regularly with a kitchen knife, and like, obviously that's not good, but I don't know.
He keeps it sharp, provides, so the minimal.
Yeah. He's never punctured a lung, and like, I mean, if that's not love, what is?
He's trying to be nice. He avoids my major arteries. I'm a very passive person, so for 5 years, I've been able to either ignore it. Okay, so he's a know-it-all. I've been able to either ignore it, brush it off, and so forth. This man will mansplain. I'm talking, he criticizes that I wipe wrong after I pee.
Yes. I love that.
Is he watching?
He's in there going, hey.
Why does he know?
Front to back.
Why does he know your wiping technique?
He's a know-it-all. He knows everything.
I mean, if she is wiping back to front, I'm concerned. Because that's how you get...
You know what? This is a free country. She can do that if she wants to.
She can get an infection if she wants to. I mean, you do wipe front to back, but... He shouldn't know how she's waiting.
Okay. Here's where I learned it was in the film Jersey Girl, starring Ben Affleck.
Really?
That yeah. You have to wipe. I had never considered how someone with a vagina might wipe.
Right.
And it came up in that.
You don't
want to
get poop in there.
Well, I mean,
you don't
want to
get anything from
I've
your
seen
butt.
Two Girls, One Cup.
Mmm.
Have you? That's why did you say it?
For all kinds of diseases.
Mmm is the wrong thing to say.
That movie, that video came out when I was a freshman in high school, and we all watched it, like, in the lunchroom.
In health class. We're going to point out what went wrong here.
Okay, anyway, now I'm thinking about that video, and I'm going to throw up. Okay, so I'm talking, he criticizes that I wipe wrong after I pee, and that I didn't do the dishes in the right order.
These are the same.
And that I should, oh, it gets worse. And that I should be ovulating now because my period was X days ago, etc. You get the picture. Also, he always has to tell me, quote, how men think. This is important. First of all, you can't necessarily use when your period was last to know when you're going to ovulate.
You can if you're not a whore.
So there's, for anyone who doesn't have a menstrual cycle or doesn't know about menstrual cycles, they can vary for so many reasons. You can be a little bit stressed and it'll take longer. You can be like more active or less active, and that will change it by a number of days. If you change your diet, that can change it. Like when I suddenly went keto, it threw off everything. Anything that would impact your hormones will impact how long this takes. So it's just ridiculous.
So let me ask you this. If you keep changing your diet every week or so, would you just never have a period? Perfect. We hacked it.
No, it would just be very unpredictable.
It would never start or it would never stop. But either way, you're going to feel bad.
Okay, anyway. Now on to what happened yesterday. We have this neighbor who has lived beside us for 3 years. She's in her 40s. She lives by herself. I've never had any problems with her until very recently. The entire 3 years, my husband would always mow her yard every time he mowed ours too, and he would even take the time to carefully weed around her flowers and not hurt them. My husband is a very handy man, so he has also fixed things for her too. At first, this didn't bother me because my husband is a genuinely nice guy. He doesn't sound like a nice guy.
Don't know about that. You sure about that?
You sure about that? That's why? But the past 6 months, I've asked him to stop doing things for her because of how she's responded to it. For example, me and my husband were sitting on our deck and she walks up. She totally ignored me and only acknowledged my husband and proceeded to thank him and only converse with him. This happened a few more times after that, where she would ignore my entire existence and only converse with him, even after I would say something to her. Then she started to bring my husband gifts, fresh baked bread, fruit and veggies from her garden. And one time when I was even at work, she brought our son a bunch of toys. You didn't mention a son. She brought our son a bunch of toys. She claimed they were from her niece, but they weren't. She forgot to take the tag off and I saw it. Anyway, this sent my senses off. I asked my husband to stop and I told him I really think she's got other intentions and he's sending the wrong message. He's totally ignored me and brushed it off. Yesterday, he mowed her yard again, weed-eated again. weed-eated. Something in me just snapped. Once he was done and walking back onto our deck, I yelled at him. My exact words were, "Don't you ever tell me how a man thinks when you won't even listen to me about how a woman thinks." Then he called me jealous and said it was uncalled for. And now I refuse to speak to him. It's been a whole day since I've said a word. So am I the asshole? No, and he's cheating on you.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. I was like,
yeah, for sure.
I feel like there's stuff going on there, but I don't know. She's in her 40s, you know. By the time you're 38, you're essentially dead.
I don't know why you didn't end this relationship the first time he was like, why haven't you ovulated by now?
Oh, I know. Like, I mean, even beyond the situation that has prompted the question, It's like, this is a bad relationship. She should take the child and run.
Yes.
Which brings us to our first sponsor, New Balance. When you need to run from a terrible relationship, New Balance.
Comfortable. Wow.
I'm
not the asshole. He sounds intolerable and you only used his own line back at him. I also think you're right to be jealous. They're having an emotional affair. Probably why he blew up, because you caught him. Honestly, I let her have him and move on with your life. Find someone who respects you and isn't a grotesque parody of a sexist. Yeah, I mean, I hate when people use jealousy as like an insult in an argument, because mm-hmm. jealousy is a perfectly valid emotion to feel. It can be healthy and normal. And if someone's like, you're just jealous, it's like, yeah, I'm a human being. That is a perfectly valid thing to feel in this situation. Like, correct, I'm jealous. You're spending a lot of time with her and talking to her, and she's bringing you gifts and you're doing favors for her, and all you do is tell me how I should wipe after I pee. So yes, I'm jealous.
So I'm looking at the comments.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, someone says, not the ass of how passive are you? I was sort of with this guy by the end of the post. And she said, I don't like arguments or confrontation. I'm super passive. You learn how to tune things out after a while. And they downvoted it. It's like negative 360 votes down.
Well, yeah, you can't come to this subreddit and be like, what do I do? When the answer is have a conversation. And she's like, I don't want to do that.
Well, no. Could you imagine? They'd have to talk about it. I don't understand putting up with that. Like, when I was younger, sure. I guess when I was 25, I was dating somebody who was shitty to me and I just dealt with it. And I was like, whatever. Better than nothing.
Yeah.
But
you have a kid, if you have a kid, you're a bit more tied to this person. So it's not as easy to just up and leave, but
she doesn't want that kid anyway.
Well, you still have to.
That kid is also a man. She doesn't understand how he thinks. I don't know how you put up with that. Like, I wouldn't put up with that in a friend, let alone like a partner.
Yeah.
And lucky for Chris, I don't know anything, so they don't have to worry about it.
Someone says, everything sucks here. It is always a problem when you spend 5 years not communicating your thoughts and feelings with your partner and then snap at them. You have a voice, learn how to use it. He cannot read your mind. I think that's the first thing, is like, she's never corrected the behavior.
Yeah, so, but like, I don't think everyone sucks here.
No, but I do think like you've taught him how to treat you at this point. You have accepted this is how he treats you. And so to snap and be like, how dare you? He's like, I'm just doing my thing. This is who I am.
But he chooses to treat her like that. Like,
correct. It doesn't excuse it. It's just like, how have you gone this long?
And then never said even anything? Now that she has, you know, what he does is call her jealous and say that's uncalled for. I'm like, it's not even validating to what he should have done was been like, you know, you seem upset. You're saying this. Is it related to this? Like, that could have been a conversation on his side too. I think he's the asshole. I just think she's never dealt with it.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, there's someone who says, everyone sucks here. Letting people walk on you and having no self-respect is not virtuous. And I think that's where I get to. Like, people see being a peacekeeper as being like a positive thing in a relationship. And it's like, not if you're not expressing how you feel about things. Like, it's actually almost never better for both parties for you to just let bad behavior occur.
Well, yeah, and what relationship needs a peacekeeper, right? Like, what is going on in your relationship that you're like, I gotta moderate this. This is too much.
Right. What does it solve? Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe she's finally starting to, you know, get some self-respect and is gonna leave. Hopefully.
We can maybe.
Or they'll figure things out. But he sounds terrible.
Yeah. He's the asshole. There, I said it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back and do more.
Great.
Classic podcast. What are we looking at right now?
I'm looking at the other post I pulled that I want to read next.
Spoilers!
The title is just pulling me in.
Which one is it?
Am I the asshole for telling off my mother-in-law for insisting my daughter doesn't have a, quote, real vagina?
Wow.
This one is going to be weird in a lot of ways.
If you want to read this, then let's just go. Let's do it.
All right.
I'll read the last one when it's my turn. Someday.
All right. My 4.5-year-old daughter has a stomach bug and has been having some diarrhea. My wife needed to take our son to an appointment, and I needed to work from home today, so my mother-in-law came to watch after our daughter. My daughter needed to use the bathroom, and I was going to excuse myself from my online meeting, but my mother-in-law said she had it. A bit later, my daughter came up to me and asked me to wipe her. I said to her, "Didn't grandma help you? She knows how to wipe, but with her having diarrhea, we're helping her." She said yes, but grandma wiped wrong. She said grandma wiped in instead of out, as in from the butt.
We just inward. Talked about this.
Inward towards the vagina.
Grandma needs to listen to our podcast.
I excused myself from my meeting. Can you imagine? You're like, I gotta go, guys. Something's going on. To help my daughter wipe correctly. I went to find my mother-in-law in the kitchen. I asked her, "Daughter says you wiped in instead of out." She said, "I wiped her. You think there's a better way?" I told her it's not healthy to wipe into the vagina. You need to wipe out. She said, "And you have a vagina?" I said, "No, but I have a daughter and I won't let her get an infection by wiping poop into her vagina." She said, "Daughter doesn't have a real vagina yet, so there's no chance of infecting anything." I said, "What? Of course she has a real vagina. She's a female." She said girls don't have real vaginas until they're teenagers. There's so much going on here. And there's no chance of any infection because their vagina doesn't actually develop until they're a teenager. I was dumbfounded and I got angry. I said to her, "You're a woman. You raised 3 daughters and I'm married to one. You can't possibly be this stupid." She told me I'm out of line and said if I can't appreciate her helping, then she's leaving. I told her I'm perfectly, in fact, definitely more capable than her of caring for my daughter, and that she's welcome to get out. She did leave. About 10 minutes later, my wife called me and said her mom was furious with me and said I was terrible to her, making her leave without any reason. After explaining, my wife is on my side. Am I the asshole for defending my daughter's, quote, real vagina? I mean, kicking her out's maybe an overreaction, but she did offer to leave. So
yeah, I mean, that was her choice, right?
She'd be like, "Well, then I can just go," and you're like, "Cool."
There is much to ponder here. First of all,
there's a lot going on here.
What the hell? Why? How do you think? Oh no, that's not a real vagina. Like, that's
not a real.
That's for pretend
vagina. Like, until you're a teenager, you cannot get infected. That's simply untrue.
Well, it's the stem cells. That's why we can't take the stem cells out of kids. We gotta leave them in there.
It's just untrue in every way.
Yeah, I don't know where you get that idea. Like, what? Did you learn nothing along the way? And I guess lucky for your other daughters that that they're fine and didn't die from an infection because you were rubbing shit in the wrong spot.
That's so gross, man. Like, ugh. Even if there's no, even if you think there's no risk of infection, why would you do that anyway?
I don't know.
What? How did you raise three children? Three daughters.
She didn't. Yeah, maybe she didn't. Maybe a man was there. Thank God.
Top comment. Not the asshole. Your mother-in-law is profoundly stupid. Not for not knowing how to wipe, but for not realizing that four-year-old girls have fully formed genitals. God knows what other pearls of wisdom she has in her brain.
Someone else says, I want to take a moment and acknowledge that your daughter did such a good job of advocating for herself in that situation.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. Yeah, like, yeah. To know, like, hey, this was not... This isn't something's right. Going weird here.
Well, because when you're... I don't know if other people who grew up with a vagina have similar experiences, but that was, like, a very large point of potty training, is you learn.
They would not shut up about it.
You wipe out. You never wipe the other direction. And so she probably just had it ingrained.
Just do it sideways.
Rightfully so. Of like, just wipe sideways. So she probably had it ingrained. Like, this is the direction. You only go in this direction. And now it's her grandma's clearly doing it wrong. And I'm sure it was, like, uncomfortable in that moment to have, like, thinking about that sensation.
What?
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. So for a four-year-old to be like, Dad, something's not right.
Yeah, I got to share something with you that I don't like. You're not going to like either. I wonder if the mother-in-law...
Go ahead.
I would say, I wonder if the mother-in-law went home and looked this up and was like, that guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking. I've raised three daughters. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And then gone, oh, what?
I'm like, is she equating it to like a penis and testes? How it, like, they don't drop until you reach a certain age? See, like, well, these aren't, it's the same with a vagina. It's like, nope it's not
doing anything.
It's developed,
it's closed.
Once it's there, it can get infected. The way is shut. You. I mean, that's the reason the hymen exists, is to keep things out, right? To protect it from infection. So there is some truth to, like, you're less likely to get an infection while your hymen is intact, I'm sure. I'm not a doctor, but, like, that would make sense. But that doesn't mean
wait,
you do
David's
that
a
anyway,
doctor. Get
right?
Him in,
like,
here.
Yeah. Yikes. Yikes.
I want to look it up.
Yeah, it's like she's equating, like, once you have a period, then you have a real vagina.
That doesn't make no. That doesn't make sense.
That just means you can get pregnant. Like, it's. Someone said, infections only happening after puberty is such a dumb take that I'm shocked your wife made it to adulthood. If some people need to be told to fuck off to keep your kids safe, then buckle up, because here comes the F storm. Oh my god. Yeah, and also, as someone points out, urethra is different from a vagina. That is your pee hole.
What?
And I know, right? And if you get pee, or if you get poop in that hole, that will also get infected. You'll get a UTI. So it's not even about, like, oh, she isn't in puberty yet. Like, it's just a matter of, like, that's just gross. You don't do that. Ugh. Wow.
Well, I'm glad you brought this one to our attention. This was important, and I think we've covered a lot of ground today. I do find it weird that we talked about this separate from the post.
It is silly, because the last one said that her husband told her she was wiping wrong. And then I was like, well, maybe she is, but still.
Yeah, we don't know. But that's her business. At the end of the day, that's really, that's her thing. All right, I'm going to read one now. I think I'm going to do it. Becca saw
before
that while we
do.
Were on our break. Oh, here we go. What?
Before, I was just going to say, there's like a TikTok of this woman going around a college campus and asking guys on campus, like, if a girl has a tampon in and she has to pee, does she have to take the tampon out? And so many people said yes. They were like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, how else is it going to come out?
Pee with a tampon in. Like, I'm like, oh my God. These are the people writing laws about my body.
Yeah, go ask Congress. Go ask members of Congress that question and find out what they know.
ask every male person in the House of Representatives if a woman has to take a tampon out to pee. Someone has to take a tampon out to pee.
You're like, and see what, they don't have to.
See what
to.
The stats are on that answer. They don't have to, but they should.
Yeah.
Right. You could just start to pee and then it'll just the tampon right out.
If you're in space and you're not careful, it'll float right back up in there. That's the use case here. All right.
Do you remember when NASA sent a woman to space and they gave her 100 tampons?
They didn't know.
And they said, is that enough?
Maybe she wouldn't have a period in space because of the space magic.
She was going for 6 days.
Okay, so.
And they gave her 100 tampons.
Yeah,
and they were like, is this good?
She needed like twice that. I hope they use them as little torpedoes to throw at each other in the space shuttle. Like little darts.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to read this one. It's a hypothetical. Would I be the asshole to insist my neighbor keep a yard schedule?
Probably.
For background, my name is Becca Lynch, and I have a severely reactive rescue dog. She's terrified of other dogs. Okay, it doesn't say it's from Becca, but this Becca wrote this, clearly. She's terrified of other dogs and freaks out majorly when she sees them or hears them. My partner and I have been working with our vet and a behavioral trainer, and we've made some progress, but my dog is still not truly comfortable anywhere but her own yard. A new lady just moved in next door, and she has two big dogs. They seem like nice dogs. They're quiet, and she works with them a lot. The problem is that she works from home full time, and her dogs are always outside. She doesn't leave them there for hours or anything, but I never know when she's going to let them out or for how long. She also spends a lot of time out there with them on after work and on weekends. I can hear her training and playing fetch, or she'll have them out with her while she's doing yard work. To be fair to her, she trains them and she doesn't let them run up on the fence, and if they do bark, she makes them go inside. They're still out on the other side of the fence, though, and my dog is now scared and reacting in her own backyard. When my dog starts carrying on, she is the one who has to go inside. She already can't enjoy walks, and now she can't even enjoy being outside. I asked my neighbor if she'd consider a schedule for the dog so that my dog can enjoy her yard too without the neighbor's dog freaking her out on the other side of the fence. She was polite about it but said no. She bought the house with the yard for her dogs and they use it. She said she'd be glad to tell me when she's leaving with them for a period of hours, but otherwise she's not going to change what she's doing day to day. So nothing changed and her dogs get plenty of outdoor time while mine gets none except for the stray times when she takes one of her dogs... straight times when she takes one of her dogs to training class or takes both of them for a hike. I'm really upset and want to insist that we adopt a schedule so that my dog can have some outside time too. Would I be the asshole? Edit to yes. Clarify, my dog does not get the same opportunity as her dog, not even close. Her dogs have free access 5 days a week, weeknights and weekends. My dog only gets outside time now when she says she's leaving for a class or a hike. If I let my dog out to sun herself at 10:30 on a Tuesday, sure enough, it won't be 5 minutes before she's letting her dogs out and then my dog freaks out and has to come in. She's not getting anywhere close to what they're getting. At it again, the fence is a privacy fence. My dog freaks out when she can hear and smell the other dogs as well as see them. She can't see these dogs, but she knows they're there. I think she'd be the asshole. I'm assuming this is a woman. I don't know why.
Yes.
I think they'd be the asshole if they asked again. Because they've already said, they've already proposed this and the person said no. And like they have a right to, you know, their property, which is theft, of course. But they have a right to it and their dog's enjoying it. I feel like you need to train your dog more. Like you've made progress, but have you tried to introduce them to these other dogs in like a safe way and do all those little things? You know more than me, but I just don't want you to get to talk on this, so I'm gonna keep going so that you can't get a word in. It's called a
even
filibuster.
Almost and, no experience.
Well, here's the thing I know about dogs. Cammy's the best dog in the world, and I've seen her get used to other dogs, and so that tells me that any dog can get used to other dogs. So the first time I met Cammy, she was hiding. And, like, she wouldn't come out, didn't want to be around
and
people. But now she's
lot.
Good with people. She didn't bark at me that much, but, like, a little.
You
I think
had
I
guitar.
Had a guitar. Yeah. That's why I get a lot of people bark at me when I have a guitar. They're called fans. And so she was working on that, and she trained. But, like, we've taken her places. I remember the last time I was in – well, not the last time I was in Denver, but the last time I was in Denver and we went out, like, hiking, We took it to the restaurant and she was fine with all those other dogs around. So I feel like you can train it. And I think this woman just needs to spend more time training that dog and it'll get better. And then you can make friends with the neighbor dogs. I wonder if it would help if there was like a clear little window where they... I'm still going. I see you trying. You want to talk so bad and I'm just going to keep going. This is going to be funny to edit because there's nowhere to cut it. But yeah, I think maybe they just need to be friends. Maybe take that fence down. Let them get to know each other. Sniff some butts. That's what I do when I get to know somebody and it works out. Brings us closer together. And so I think that
may I speak?
No. Woof. Bark.
So my dog Cammy, very reactive.
Oh, you have a dog?
When I first got her, she was very scared of people, and very reactive to dogs. So but I knew this when we got her. The foster was like, she can be introduced to dogs. Like, she lived with other dogs in her foster home. She was like, strange dogs, she will bark, she will pull, she will growl, she will do all sorts of things. So I knew that, and that I think is the core point of this person's post, that is, you chose to adopt a severely reactive dog. Mm-hmm. You chose that. When you get a dog like this, especially if they're coming from a foster or whatever, you tend to know their issues at least somewhat. So you knew this was going to be a problem, and I'm assuming you knew at the time that your neighbor had dogs. You might have underestimated the struggle that it was going to be, but this is ultimately your responsibility. And it seems like the neighbor is even being kind enough as to give notice to say, like, I'm about to let my dogs out. Like, that's all you can really ask for, and that's even really above and beyond. She doesn't have to accommodate your dog. Mm-hmm. Like, that's plain and simple. Your dog has issues and you're working on them and that's great. Maybe use this as like your real project, right? Like, go to your neighbor and be like, hey, I know this is inconvenient. Can we spend some time trying to get our dogs acclimated to each other? Because she's very anxious. Clearly, like, we live together. We both want our dogs to be able to use the yard and not have it be stressful. Why don't we try taking them for a walk together? No fence, right? Why don't we try having them meet in a neutral zone? I think like a touching fence is a really territorial, bad environment for dogs that mm-hmm. haven't actually met outside of that environment.
Well, and you've seen those videos property. Where like there's a wall between two dogs and they're snarling at each other and then they remove that and they're like, oh, hey.
Like, yes, fences. Cammy has a real issue with dogs behind fences. Even if that other dog isn't doing anything, it's like the presence of a fence like hypes her up because I don't know, but it's a thing.
Fucking loves fences.
And this isn't to say you should just like let your super reactive dog loose with these dogs because there might be issues. But try to do like a neutral space. They have this thing called sniff spots now where you can rent like somebody else's fenced in yard and have your dogs meet there because that's a like area where neither of the dogs are going to be territorial and protective.
Oh, that's
true.
They're
both going to be, it's equally neutral for all parties.
Yard B&B.
But yeah.
Yard bark and bark.
You don't get to expect the world to accommodate you. Now, like, I have issues with off-leash dogs, like running up on my dog and people who do not have control over their dogs in a public park and breaking the law and like their dog runs up to my super reactive dog and almost gets their head bitten off and it's not my problem. But that's very different.
That ain't like, on me is what she's saying.
If it were me in this situation and I could see it being me, if we owned a house and had a yard, like my number one priority would be like, we have to get them introduced to each other because then this will all go away. Like once they are familiar with each other and the smells and, you know, it'll be fine. But like a lot of times with reactive dogs, it's not that they can't be around any other dogs. It's just that there are triggers that will make them very anxious. And a fence is one of those. A leash is also one.
And you'd think part of the training that they're doing, you know, it's not just training the dog, it's training the people. And so you'd think they'd be talking about that to say, hey, here's some strategies you could use and figure out, you know. And it seems like the other person, like you said, is receptive to working on it together. So why not? Like, if you own that house and they own the one next to you and you're probably going to be there for a while, maybe make the effort to figure it out.
Yep.
This person came here to ask and be like, I feel like I'm probably wrong about doing this and hasn't done it yet.
But they're getting super defensive and shitty in the comments.
Oh, are they? I'm updating my iPad so I can't see the comments.
From a dog training perspective, what you would want to do here is keep bringing your dog into the yard and making it a positive experience when the other dogs are out there. That doesn't mean like you force your dog to go up to the fence and look at them and blah, blah, blah. Bring your dog out into your yard with like a really enriching food puzzle, right? Mm. And just start doing that every day. So they start to associate the yard as like a good place, even if the other dogs are over there. And she said these other dogs don't bark or run up to the fence or anything. So this is the best possible situation. You put your dog out there with like a frozen peanut butter food puzzle and you set them out there. And as long as they are not reacting, they get to keep doing that puzzle. As soon as they react, you bring them inside, you try again the next day. But you just keep doing that. You have to, it's like positive reinforcement all the way. And you will get there, but it's going to be more work. But you knew you adopted a severely reactive dog. It takes work. That's it.
Is there a subreddit for people who regret getting their pet?
There is a subreddit for reactive dogs, and it can get sad because it is people like, there is what's called behavioral euthanasia, which is just where like your dog is so reactive and anxious around people, other dogs, whatever, or it's like it bit my kid, I don't like, where they have to put their dog down, and mm-hmm. it is very sad. But sometimes that is like the right decision for everyone, including the dog. There's no quality of life if the dog is just stressed 24/7.
So I feel like you're stressed 24/7. Should we be putting you down?
Yes.
I'm so tired.
So there's a response that said, I can't stop laughing thinking about how OP sitting down to seriously and earnestly write this post, sincerely believing that folks would believe that they are not an asshole. I love truly insane folks who believe that everyone's existence is an extension of their own. Truly unhinged behavior. I pity their neighbors. And they responded and said, I'm glad you think it's funny that we're exhausted and overwhelmed. And like, yeah, this comment isn't the nicest, but it is that entitlement, that attitude of like, people need to accommodate me and my choices. It's like, no, your neighbor has every right to spend 8 hours a day plus in her yard with her dogs. That is her right. That's her property.
I'd say on something relatively low stakes like this, sure. If it was doing something disruptive over there, like I hesitate to even
associate
it, but like that person who just killed a bunch of people because those people said, hey, please stop shooting your gun in your yard, and was like, oh, okay, I'll come shoot it at you instead. Like,
yes, that's different.
That was reasonable.
That's different.
Is it though?
But this is a situation where the neighbor is trying in earnest to accommodate you as much as she can. She's giving you a heads up when her dogs are going outside. She's offered to train with you to like help train your dog, right? This probably sounds like someone who has a lot of experience with dogs and has maybe dealt with reactive dogs before and knows what to do. Like, you got to get those dogs introduced to each other. You cannot just like operate in a world where everyone revolves around you and mm-hmm. your dog, and you have to have a schedule. It's insane. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Could you imagine being like, oh, my dog is asking to go outside to go to the bathroom, but I can't let him out because it's 6:30.
Yeah,
like,
and I agreed. No. I signed a contract.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So.
Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
I want to look at more of these comments.
The front to the bottom. Really
tearing this person apart. I want to know who moved in first.
My impression was that the person with the two dogs moved in next.
Just moved in. Yeah. So she just moved in.
Oh my God. I just saw Cammy on the camera.
There she is. Speaking of reactive dogs.
That's a good dog though.
We've done so much work with her, and it is like, I don't know if I would get another reactive dog. I mean, she's the best, but I don't know if I would make that choice again because mm-hmm. it does make everything a lot harder. It makes walks more stressful. It makes when she's being watched by somebody else, you have to like fill them in on like, here are all of her triggers. Here's everything you need to do on a walk. Here's what you do when she freaks out, like blah, blah, blah.
I watched Cammy once and she just laid in my bed and was like, this is actually pretty nice.
Yeah, you guys went for some walks and stuff.
Oh, we did so many walks. It was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves a walk.
Oh God, yeah. Is she sitting there going, her ears
and like,
what are we doing?
She's like, what the hell?
It's like, I should be having another dinner. If I go for a walk, I get another dinner. That's the rule. So yeah, let's do a walk. Let's do walks. Any other good comments?
Yeah. Just a lot of people being like, I cannot imagine my neighbor asking this of me.
Well, I mean, it was already asked once, right? So I feel you tried it.
Yeah. But if you ask again, then yeah, you're absolutely a piece of shit. Someone says, imagine being the lady next door buying a house with the perfect backyard for your two dogs, only to find out that she lives next to OP and needs to restrict her own backyard usage.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is your dog. The onus for figuring out a solution is squarely on you. The lady next door doesn't necessarily have to work with you. She's entitled to use her own yard as she sees fit. Your dog is the issue. Yeah, get your dog better at being on walks so you don't have to just rely on your yard for exercise. Also, a yard is not mentally stimulating for a dog, really, because it's the same smells, sights, sounds, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, get up, you need to get them out on a walk. And that's also like can lead to a lot of anxiety, is when they don't have a lot of new smells, new things happening that they can think about. If all they're seeing every day is their same yard that has these stressful dogs, gotta get them out on a walk.
Give the dog a knife. It'll give them confidence.
That's like when Cammy starts to get more and more anxious, usually it's like I think about like when was the last time we had a good walk and like had that routine, and it's like, yeah, that's when it happens. Versus like when we were at that brewery with you and David, like she was fine with those other dogs all around because we had just done like a 4-mile hike, right?
And she did so good.
She did do so good. Anyway.
Well, I got to go. I got jazz band in about 40 minutes and I need to eat before then. So
I'm going to go eat pasta. It smells like David started the sauce.
I'm going to have pasta. I'm going to warm up some bolognese.
A bolognese.
Will you ask Stefano how to say that?
No.
Please. He's the only Italian that I know. Kind of. Well,
no,
I don't know if I ever actually talked to him, but he knows who I am. Everybody knows who I am. So
anyway,
okay, great. Well, hey, thanks for your time today. And if you take one thing away from this, it's remember to wipe your dogs front to back.